dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody in SVC land. This is Bruce Knox, along with a couple of other gentlemen that I will... A couple other gentlemen that I will introduce just shortly. But first, I want to tell you, you're listening to show 269 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. This and all of our shows brought to you by, of course, Triple Crown Family Fun Center. They're located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. You can give them a call at 740-773-7529. And, of course, look them up on the web at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. And they are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And I want you to know that my neighbors down the way actually had a birthday party for a grandson there yesterday. Great reviews coming out of that event, and so we highly recommend it. And besides, they are our billboard sponsor. We really do appreciate that. Let's bring in the two sports guys. They are, first, John Bruce. John, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Bruce?
Well, I think I'm getting a cold. It's been hanging around. My wife's had it, and I think I'm getting it. I know there's been lots of people, lots of school teachers I've talked to. It's infiltrated the old athletic department. I think a couple schools have had problems with that. But I'm here and I'm ready to roll. Anything else new in your world?
I'm feeling the exact same way.
Okay.
Except I'm on about day five of mine. Okay. So hopefully it'll be finishing up its course here in the next couple of days.
And, yeah, just in time for the break. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And then we bring in Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. Fun week. I was thinking here in my pre-show notes that I've seen five boys teams in person this week. Dena, Huntington, Paint Valley, Southeastern, Uniota. Had a chance to see Zane Trace on film and even have another film on Zane Trace there to maybe watch. And then on the girls' side, obviously see PV and then Dena, Southeastern, Uniota, Huntington. So really, really busy week of basketball. I've even been out this evening to do my number one snow dance. So I feel like the snow's moving in.
Okay, we are recording this on Sunday night.
So, yes. So I'm very confident in my weather people that the snow be moving in. So all's well.
Yeah. Do you do all the things that teachers do supposedly? I think there's something about flushing ice down the toilet. Have you heard that one?
I have not.
You have not done that.
Okay.
No. All right. Well, you're kind of betwixt and between because, you know, if there's no school, then there might not be basketball. So knowing the lover of the game
that's a good point, right.
You know, you kind of don't necessarily, you'd probably be okay with a delay, wouldn't you?
Yeah, the delay is always a good compromise. The best weather pattern is when you can get it to come through overnight, get it cleared out by daybreak, so you can still get your little practice in the afternoon. If there's any game that night, then you're still good to go.
Okay.
See, I will argue that wholeheartedly, because if we have a delay,
yeah,
and then school gets canceled, I still have to go help out working latchkey for the entire day, so then I don't I still get paid, but at the same time I would like a snow day.
Tune in next week, folks.
Tune
in next week and we'll tell you what the outcome of that was, and we'll also test the effectiveness of flushing ice cubes down the toilet as well for teachers. But we wanted to get into the show here a little bit, and I understand, Shane, you want to talk about, and as I read this when I was reading through the pre-show notes and so forth, I thought I need a little sounder, some kind of doo 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 instant feedback on our feedback. What does that exactly mean to us? What is our feedback, and what is your feedback to that feedback?
Well, I think it's two categories for me, you know, what I agree with and what I continue to maybe disagree with. On the agree with, I certainly can appreciate, I think John talked about this real well last week, several people talking about the NBA, college, the analytics, how they've impacted the shooting. I've heard a lot of people talk about the tough twos. That seems to be a basketball term going around. They talked a lot about the three, John, you know, shooting it, you know, from the pass that's maybe being pushed ahead compared to that inside out pass that's coming, you know, from off of the penetration or the inside out three, and, you know, having a lot more green light there. Certainly can't disagree with the way the 3-point shot impacts this. And then in the middle of the Friday, Saturday, a lot of the back to back came up. I thought what was funny, it was the girls' game kind of maybe didn't do a lot for that theory. The girls played some back to back there, a couple schools did. I don't know if on Friday night, the second of the back to back, I don't know that you would say that the Uniota girls' legs were tired. They're shooting the 3-point shot on that second night.
Right.
They seemed to be just fine. And then Allison Basie actually played Huntington, actually played three straight days, which is a very rare thing, obviously, with Huntington's schedule and what they went through. But, you know, I think Basie was probably okay there on that third day when she went for 40. So, you know, so it's one of those where, you know, I know there's different things that go into different matchups and different things, but I do think that there's some fair points there. I guess the biggest thing I disagree with, and this is maybe something we'll get into later in the show there in the final segment, I just don't know that I agree that the 3-point shot maybe is getting blamed for too much. And I still don't know if I buy the whole load management with high school kids. Again, unless there's an injury or something involved. Yeah, I don't know. I may not be buying that as much, but gosh, I appreciate the feedback. The text and the different things I get to do at games. Like I said, I just named about out of the 16 varsity teams we covered, I think what I named there about 9 or 10 of them I've seen in person, and it's just awesome who I run into and the chats I get to have and so forth.
Well, that's great. And then you already mentioned there, we're going to talk a little bit more about maybe the 3-point in our final segment as well. Anything else on the agenda you want to bring up right now?
Yeah, there is. I tell you, some topics that have been really in the inbox and in my phone and so forth from really the beginning of basketball season. Some things on program development. Well, as always, we'll talk about a lot of boys, a lot of girls, and various topics. We'll use a little fill-in-the-blank segment. And then we've had a lot of fans really asking us to dive deeper into this 3-point shot. So I think what we'll do this week, guys, in our three segments with Advanced Services, North Fork Animal Clinic, and Crown Hill Golf Club, we'll just kind of break those down. And John, we'll look at some keys and some different things that maybe go in, maybe even look at some examples in the SVC of program development and what we like. And then boys and girls, I know we have four fill in the blanks that'll allow us to really highlight a lot of kids. And then as we get into the 3-point shot, not only talk about the shot itself and the strategy itself, but also that'll give us a chance to highlight a lot of kids. So it should be a great show. Again, thank you, Advanced Services, North Fork Animal Clinic, Crown Hill Golf Club, for all their support. I think it's going to make for a great show.
Well, let's get right to it. Up in our first segment, a topic that came up a few weeks ago seems to fit perfectly with what a few of our league programs are doing here at the start of the season. Stay tuned. And as Shane mentioned, Advanced Services is going to lead us off there. The heating, cooling, and refrigeration folks are Southeastern Ohio. Contact them at 877-947-4499. Celebrating over 20 years of serving Southern Ohio in heating, cooling, and refrigeration. You can schedule a consultation today on their website. So that is Advanced Services, and they are available on the web at advancedservices.com. Shane hinted a little bit ago, pretty much told us actually, that we're going to take a look at program development and how some of the people in southeastern Ohio do it, some of the people here in the SVC. Shane, on program development, let's just kind of start off and talk about what you see as the keys to program development, if we can.
Well, I certainly don't want to hog the list, so to speak. I have kind of a long list here, and I'm sure John does as well, as long as we've been doing this and as passionate as we are. So, John, I'll kind of throw one out. We can kind of go back and forth, comment, share one. I guess the first thing that jumps out at me is something along the line of consistency or coaching tenure. I think not just really at the varsity level, but throughout. I think if you get down in your open gyms for your junior high, your camps for your junior high, obviously the junior high program itself in terms of consistency of numbers and that consistency of trying to do the same things. I know some don't agree with that, and that's fine. I personally strongly agree that if you're able to run the same stuff up and down your program, transition. I know I think back to my playing days. It makes a lot of sense to me that I understood this sophomore, junior, senior in high school, because from the time I was in the fourth grade to the time I graduated high school, I ran the same exact offense. So, it's just one of those things that foundation. So I guess before I go too far down my list, I'd ask you, John, your thoughts on that, and then maybe share one on your list. We'll just kind of work back and forth if that's okay.
Yeah. So I just want to ask, do you think it's possible to keep running that same thing now with all the shared tape and the advanced scouting that goes on now? Do you think that would be a little bit different now than it was back in your time?
That is a fascinating question. I promise fans, John and I have not talked before the show at all. That is a question that over the last year we constantly have in some of our coaching meetings I've had with other coaches, and the answer to me is wholeheartedly yes. And the reason I say that, John, is the more I study things, I used to drive Eric Snyder nuts. Okay. And I think sometimes I drive Tristan nuts now, or as I just simply watch film and make comments on certain things. I don't always see a scheme issue. I don't always see an X and O issue. What I see is a skill issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things of, I don't know that I need to invent five other ways to get, so-and-so an ISO or so-and-so a shot or so-and-so this. I simply need to get a couple kids that can just dribble, pass, and catch and execute a penetrate kick. And at the end of the day, it comes down to if I can draw a second defender and I'm good enough to kick it out to that corner and shoot the three. And if that's what we do, that's what we do. We talked post players last week, right? If you have post, I don't know, in my personal opinion, if you need seven different ways to get them the ball on the block, what you need is good screening, good timing, good pass catch, good post feed. So that's just, I realize as I get older, I'm the old school guy probably too much, and or X's and O's. I love the X and O more than anybody. But I guess if I'm answering your question, honestly, I would say I do think you can still have base offense and still have your different wrinkles as you go. Now, how many wrinkles that is, I guess we could sit and do a whole show on that.
Okay. Yeah, I do completely agree with the staff cohesion. I think if at least year to year, you know what you're doing, up and down, or you have consistency with coaching. So I know for a few years we had Monk Roll, who's now out at Edina. He would run different things, but he ran his stuff so perfectly that it got people ready to run just through the offenses. And he always worked on things that had people ready to play once they got up to the varsity level. So that was one of those tenured people you're talking about. And I do think that's important. That's a big way to develop a program. I think another way is, through patience. If you graduated a big senior class, you can't expect to probably have the same year the next year. You can just take, okay, you just lost 3 4-year starters. Okay. Or 3 year starters. If you're going basketball, that's three guys or girls that you had to replace that have been a huge part of the program. and you have to find people behind them. So it may not be there immediately. So I think that's where you kind of build your tenure also. So is being patient with coaches, being patient with, the process to building a program. And if a new coach is in, be patient with them on if you didn't have a youth program, if they installed a youth program, that's going to take time to get those players up and developed and ready to possibly play a different style than they had played under the previous coach.
John, I wanted to hit on patience there. One thing you were saying, I had patience in my notes and had it a little bit of different twist. I think patience can also not just be in the results of the short term, but it comes a little bit more in that long term of identity. I think identity was another thing I had down, and identity takes a while to establish. I think that's why I said with the X's and O's, it's more of a foundation piece. Obviously, you're going to tweak things based on your personnel and so forth as you go. But when I think identity, a lot of times, I think sometimes we are so results driven and people want the results so bad right now that it's tough. I've shared on SVC Sports Talk before when I was a young coach, I worked so hard to try to maybe game plan and to maybe put some spread and hold the ball or do some things or junk defenses or some different things. And looking back on it now, you know, we did compete against some really elite teams, and we got ourselves into the middle of the fourth quarter and sometimes all the way down under a minute of the fourth quarter, and even pulled a couple upsets off now and then. But when I look back on it as a young coach, I don't feel like I was doing what I wanted to do to form that identity two, three years down the road. And I think when you think program, that's something that I see right now. The other word I had down that maybe I have not heard yet is just community culture. And this can come from, you know, when we say consistency or tenure, a lot of that comes from administration, commitment to coaches, commitment to resources. But it also comes down to just a culture of when it comes to Little League, when it comes to camps, different things. That's so difficult in today's time, when so many things have been taken outside of the school, into the travel ball, into the AAU, into the workout coaches. You mentioned last week the skills people, John. I thought that was really good. I had a couple people comment on that. And I think a lot of that comes down to when you have really good people in your community and they're getting involved, well, you have a better opportunity to get better people teaching in your Little League. Teaching and workouts and you know, just parents having more knowledge of the game. So, you know, you see that in different ones. So I think that's a pretty solid list, Bruce, as we get going into some examples. Maybe we'll continue to touch on those words or add some more. But I think we certainly hit four or five words there that I think people would agree when it comes to program development are very important.
Okay. When we talk about that and we talk about the four or five factors you guys mentioned there, I was wondering if maybe you guys could give an example of maybe how things are done in the boys program, maybe a particular boys program that you're thinking of.
Well, I'll give one. I just watched the other night, John, in Southeastern. I think Southeastern to me is a great example of culture. When I think of culture, again, I'm not a prisoner of the moment. So what I am is I'm looking at this over the view of 20 years. What does a program really look like? Is it consistent, or when a lot of times when it does go down, how long is it down, and does it have the ability to come right back? And I think what happens to a place like Southeastern, obviously they've had an incredible football run here, and congratulations, Coach Gallagher, and you know, as he steps away there, obviously an incredible resume there, and then, you know, with what Lane Ruby and his signing and so forth. But I guess I use that back and forth there, football to basketball, to know that in the big picture, we know what that Southeastern community is going to do. They're not going to quit on basketball. It's going to be a mainstay. It's going to be generational. It's going to be families that it's very, very important to. And that's a program that I have no doubt is going to trend back up in a hurry. I watched them the other night. I always get a kick out of some people's preseason things, and you know, people will describe certain teams to me. I think some some people maybe over the years get a little spoiled with their fan base and different things that they get to watch. This Southeastern team right now is not that bad at all. They're young. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of time where they're going to be able to grow together and do some different things. But I think it's culture and it's the community that loves basketball. They're going to be able to contain their numbers. Or continue to build their numbers, I should say, in their junior high and their little leagues and so forth. So, I guess that's one when I had the word culture down that jumped out at me. Maybe one on the boys' side, John, that maybe you had in your notes.
I just went with Unieta when Matt Hoops started. It was 8-35 in the first two seasons, which I know we're looking at, you know, building a program, and you know, we don't look at necessarily wins and losses, but you have a 1-20 season, and a lot of people have a hard time overlooking that. The third year was better; it was 8-12, and then after that, up until last year, it was all winning seasons because it slowly was built through patience while he was getting his staff all on the same page, building the depth of the staff, which. Ironically, had me leaving the program at one point. But also, one thing I probably would have added to the earlier thing was great student leadership. You have to have kids buy in and show that, you know, this is what we're going to need to do to be better. And we had kids like Brick Davis, Cole Murray, you know, that were just really good leaders that helped build the program back to on its way to what it is now. Now, for me, I always looked at it as, you know, that was really good patience by the community because there's still decent crowds. You know, and it definitely helped Coach Hoops that he was a Unieta guy, Unieta graduate and everything. But, you know, sometimes you get impatient. And sometimes you get rid of a good coach early in their tenure before they really set the program the way they want it to be built. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's to me, and you even mentioning Southeastern, you know, maybe Coach Adams gets some extra time that previous coaches haven't gotten there. If we're just being honest, over the last 9 years of them having coaches for a couple years and then just going on to the next guy with being a Southeastern grad and having success on the girls side. And that sophomore class, like you mentioned, it's very athletic, has some nice talent. You know, they're going to go through most likely some growing pains this year, but I feel like that's going to pay off for them in the future.
Well, and I think the other thing that happens when it comes to culture building and when it comes to different things there is the expectation word. Are we looking in a 5-year period, if you win the league once or twice but also have two losing seasons, is that better than 5 straight winning seasons? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, those are some of the questions in terms of consistency we ask about. So, you know, I look at different situations and I think sometimes we are guilty because we're so results driven. If we look over a 7-8 year period, we don't maybe appreciate that, man, that program right there playing against who they play against has won more than they've lost for like this many years in a row, you know, mm-hmm. Whereas maybe the expectation is we want a little bit more. You know, we've been climbing to here and here. We'd like to get here. If I go over to the girls' side, I'll give you a great example is Brett Carino at Piketon. Oh, yeah. Brett Carino is an outstanding basketball coach. I mean, outstanding. He brings consistency. They have a true identity. I can always recognize the identity. I watch certain kids do certain things fundamentally, and I've been doing this long enough to know that, well, wait, that's not by accident. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you start seeing 4 or 5 girls do a certain thing a certain way, then you start to realize in a hurry that, well, that's been taught really well. And now, is it a situation where it's you know, unfair to because like you say that, well, Coach Carino should be winning this, and this. Well, maybe not necessarily. You may not have the resources or the different opportunities to do certain things in terms of maybe winning a championship level or different things. But what I do know is that for like what now, a decade, John, that you just know that, man, when you play them, he is going to maximize everything they have, and they're going to be a tough out. Now, that's not to say that coaches like Mike Adams, who had Ellis Skeens, or Jeff Miller, who's got great talent or whatever, aren't good basketball coaches too. You know what I mean? I'm just making the point that as people who have coached against these people, the same way I think that, you know, Mike and Jeff could go and to a program that did not have as much talent and bring them up and do that, the same way I think Brett Carino could go and take that type of talent and win championships, because I've seen him do it on the boys' side and so forth. So I guess that's my point, is on the word expectation, John, don't you think sometimes you're going to run into people who, no matter how good you are, you're always going to want it more? And sometimes that we don't stop and appreciate just how hard winning is, and just how hard it is that, you know, if you have been running a program, or if someone's been running the program you cheer for like 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, and they continue to put a competitive product out there that you know has consistency, and they're performing at a respectable level, that there's something to be said for that. And I think sometimes in program development, we just don't appreciate that. Do you follow me on that a little bit in terms of the word expectation?
Yeah, I completely do. Coach Carino was actually the one I had down as well. Because it's, you know, I don't want to say it's the same team every year, but it kind of is. And you know what they're going to do, you know, the intensity they're going to play defense with. And it's just like, I respect the heck out of him and everything he does in this program, because you know that it's never going to be an easy win. So that's, to me, that is huge in building a program. And I would watch out with that freshman class that they have also, because it's that one's going to be a doozy here in a couple years.
I would also say on Little League, you mentioned Little League. Yes. I think the Adina girls has been built from the bottom up. I think when I look from what I understand, and I'm going off of people that I trust here, I've not seen all of it with my own eyes. I've seen, I think it's their sixth grade group. I've seen them play a little bit. I've seen, I think it's their eighth grade group play a little bit. I may be wrong there. And then obviously their sophomore group is very good. But over the last 3, 4, 5 years, I think there's been a real focus on Little League, real focus on junior high. And I think that's starting to come up into the high school. And John, I know I speak for both of us when we love the hire of Andrew Day and what he's going to build with it. So I think that's a prime example. You know, we highlighted how long the Huntington girls lost, and I highlighted what I got to watch firsthand Eric Snyder do. Eric's another really good basketball coach. And then I watch what, you know, is able to be done there at Adina. And then I start to see some of the early stages there at Zane Trace as they start to come back there. So, you know, these are programs, again, over the last 15, 20 years, you just kind of know they're not going to be down long. And you look for these consistency things. You look for these expectation. You look for commitment within and so forth. I just think it's a fascinating topic, and it's one that it's just not going to be the same for each school, because even sport to sport at a particular school, there's just going to be different resources in place and different views in your community and culture pieces that are going to dictate some things.
I was going to ask you about that, Shane. I mean, doesn't it also depend on how in the community is that supporting the school system as well? Because I mean, they can put the pressure on a, you know, someone that's been there 2 or 3 years and in essence, you know, not have the patience. So it is the community as well for some of these things, isn't it?
Well, it is. And like, I'll give you a great example is, like, you know, Paint Valley football. And what they've been able to do. Paint Valley football certainly had about 3 different times in the last 20 years where they went through 1 or 2 years of tough times, but you could kind of just see it was going to come right back.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying with culture pieces. You know, when Uniota was going through that stretch that John was talking about, I still felt very, very confident that basketball, just knowing my history there, basketball has always been very important to that community. I was thinking this afternoon, John, now this is where I'm getting old and you're going to have to help me, but since the late 80s, Cindy Driggs. I know two different times, but Cindy Driggs, Tony Taylor, Jeff Miller. Has there been another girls' basketball coach that I'm missing?
No, there's not.
You know,
it was actually mid-80s. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, same way on the boys' side, Coach Lovely a couple times, you know, Coach Lysa, Coach Hoops. You know, there's just not a lot of turnover there, correct? So, I mean, it's,
yeah.
Those are the types of things we're talking about. So even though there's been like little identity changes, little different things, the overall sport of basketball is very, very important to that community. Mm-hmm. And I see that. So, as a sport like football grows there, I've seen some different, you know, paradigm shifts in terms of how people start to view that and give it a little bit more of a chance, and it takes a while to build and so forth. So I guess that's where I'm coming from is, you know, when you see an Adena program start to come back off the mat here on the girls' side, John, yeah, mm-hmm. that shouldn't really surprise people our age, because when has Adena girls basketball ever really been down and stayed down? You know what I mean? It's just yes. something that's kind of always worked there. So I just think it's a fascinating topic. I think it's one that I appreciate people sharing, because I think no matter where your program is, I think we live in a society where you're always going to want a little bit more. You know what I mean? If you sure. if you win 12 games 3 days, 3 years in a row, you're probably going to want to win 15 or 16, aren't you? I mean, it's just, yep. that's just kind of the way the competitive juices flow. And it's one that I don't have a problem with, quite frankly, as long as expectations are realistic. And I've never minded expectations as long as everybody involved shares a common vision and is willing to invest in it. I think that's important.
That is very important, how you build that, how you get that, and how you manage that, the leaders and so forth, all part of it. And we'd love to get you, the listener, involved in this discussion as well. So we'll tell you in a little bit how you can contact these guys and impart your feelings about program development and so forth. Up next, guys, we're going to fill in the blanks to highlight everything that people need to know about the SEC basketball for guys and girls. And this segment of Fill in the Blank, brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. They can be found on the web at crownhillgolfclub.com. Give Kevin and his staff a call up there at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Phone number again, 740-986-4653. Appreciate Kevin and all his staff in support for SVC Sports Talk. As we mentioned so many times here, fill in the blank time for you guys. I guess we're going to go one on boys and girls. Is that correct, Shane? Or do you want to just kind of do it one shot at a time, or one shot for both?
Honestly, we can just open it up.
Okay.
We can just open it up and or whatever you see fit. Sometimes when I look at these, John, they kind of almost correlate together, you know, so mm-hmm. just however you see fit.
Okay, well, we'll just kind of put it out there, and you guys can go at it from whatever angle you want. First one only has one blank, statement here. It says, I know it's early, but blank seems to be telling the story in terms of who is on top of the standings. Like, obviously, this one begs for two, but we'll see what you got. Let's go to John first. And John, I know it's early, but blank seems to be telling the story in terms of who's on top in the standings.
I just went with one. You're welcome. Okay. It's boys team defense.
Okay.
Seems to be telling the story. This past weekend, Zane Trace gave up a 32.5 points a game.
Mm.
Unieta gave up 34, and Adena gave up 44. Now, also, Adena gave up 48, but it was on the road. You know, if you can keep a team under 50 at home,
mm-hmm.
You're gonna have a really good shot to win. And I think that there's a reason why those three teams are the three that are 2-0 in the SEC, and it's because how good a defense that they do play. And I was just very impressed with the defense numbers that came in from all three clubs this weekend.
Okay. Shane, how would you complete this fill in the blank? I know it's early, but blank seems to be telling the story in terms of who is on the top in the standings?
Well, I was afraid people would deem me sarcastic if I said talent. You know, like really the best teams are at the top. So the most talented teams are. If I wanted to get a little bit more detailed, I would probably go with guard play. I think when you look at the common theme.
We're not surprised.
When you look at the common theme. Well, it's just true. When you look at the common theme across the board, you know, that the Evans and Swain duo, they're not bad.
No.
You know, Isaac Little's obviously been off to a pretty good start here. And, you know, when you look at what Adina returns with the way they're going to spread you out, they're going to do a lot of, you know, guard skills with multiple kids. And then you go to the girls' side, it doesn't get any better than the backcourt at Uniota has on the girls' side with Coleman and Cottrell. And then Pinkerton was terrific the other night, defensively and supplying just a little bit of offense. So, yeah, I mean, and then even with Adina, with Stark and Smith, and then on the Southeastern, and obviously Graves and Heist are going to get a lot of credit. And we'll talk about them down the road here, but don't overlook what Mitten and her value and what she's giving that team. So obviously talent has a lot to do with these teams that are going to be at the top. But if I had to break into an answer here, I just think it's guard play in terms of how they separate themselves, in terms of they don't turn it over and they allow their talent to get more shots. Well, usually that's going to equal more points.
Usually. Yes. Yes. Very, very good. All right. Our second fill in the blank. When all appears to be going wrong, it's nice to simply have blank on the roster. John, we'll go back to you on this one. Who would you like to have on the roster when things are going wrong?
Senior guards. Shane, you mentioned Evans and Swain from Zane Trace. That, I mean, you know, they love to play on both ends of the floor. They get after you defensively and then can just light up the scoreboard. Cam has a chance to be the all-time leading scorer in SEC history, which I think says a lot about how good he is. And then Swain is up there with the best on-ball defenders in the league. So, you know, and then, you know, with the Uniota girls, they were 1-for-16 in the first quarter against Huntington the other night. And then Emily Coleman, a senior guard, catches fire, hitting three straight threes for them. And then Amber Cottrell and Hallie Pinkerton didn't score nearly as much, also senior guards, but had really good floor games and were outstanding defensively to help Uniota get another valuable road win. So, I mean, having senior guards or just experienced guards in general when playing on the road in tough environments, just it makes a huge difference because they don't get shaken. They don't get thrown off by a slow start. And it just really it helps your team get into the flow offensively. So I think it's vital to have really good guards. And, I mean, if you look across the league, you know, when I mentioned Colby Swain, another really good on-ball defender, Unio's Nate Kaiser. You know, it's, you know, Painted Valley has Cruz McFadden. Different, you know, some of the teams like Adina, you know, they have one senior that really plays, and he's a wing. But, you know, a lot of these teams that have really good starts have really good backcourts, and a few of them are led by seniors.
Okay, Shane, how do you just respond to this? When all appears to be going wrong, it is nice to simply have blank on the roster.
I went with a player who can simply go get you one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, with what John said, I'm never going to argue with the guard comment. Experience is certainly a huge point. Guard could certainly be there. But I think, you know, when all goes wrong, you know, when Huntington's off to maybe an unexpected, 1-4 start, you know, Basie goes and gets 40 Saturday. You know what I mean? And a game that, you know, was fairly tight when you look at the quarter by quarter scores. When you look at, I've had I've had several people tell me that the number one difference in the last 4 minutes of the Logan Elm Zane Trace game was just Cam Evans was not going to let Zane Trace lose that game, you know, in terms of his ability to just go make plays. So a lot of times it's the ability to go get to the free throw line. It's the ability to go create a shot, or maybe not just create a shot for yourself, but it allows you to get a good look for your team. You know, maybe you draw the double and find someone and so forth. So, you know, earlier we talked about X's and O's there a little bit, John. You know, sometimes we go to our best quick hitter or we go to our execution or whatever. But let's face it, sometimes it's just nice to have a kid that if the ball's in his or her hands, they can just go kind of get one. And that probably helps solve a lot of problems quicker than just about anything.
All right. Good response there, because he took your point guard thing. All right. Let's go to the third fill in the blank here. It's got actually two blanks, so be thinking. When thinking back to the preview show, I was right about blank, but I am not so sure about blank. So what were you right about? What were you wrong about? We're going to go to Shane on this one. When thinking back to the preview show, I was right about blank, but I am not so sure about blank.
Well, I was certainly right about Skylar Heiss. I'm not so sure about linking the boys' league top to bottom. I think with Skylar Heiss, Southeastern girls are very, very good. Skylar gives them a toughness on the front line, something that they were missing a little bit last year. She can score it, she can rebound it, she can defend. Obviously, Graves is terrific, and then Huff, we know from last year, could score about 10 a game. She's still there doing that. They're going to continue to get healthy and add just a little bit of depth. Their depth has gone through some adversity early in the year, throughout the summer, early in the year, and I think they'll get a little deeper as the year goes. That's a team that really guards the paint well. They're not going to get out and really get after you like some teams can, but they're going to really guard the paint. They may not defend the 3-point line quite as well as some teams, but man, they really defend the paint. They really rebound as a result, and that's a good formula for winning. So Skylar Heiss being back, something I mentioned there to supplement the talent of Graves and Southeastern, certainly I feel like I was right about that. But linking the boys top to bottom, now I will say there's some programs, again, program development, there's some programs that I do not think are quite as bad as some people made them out to be early in the preseason. Again, I think some people probably, their definition of bad, they probably haven't had maybe some of the experience of coaching other than maybe one particular spot or two particular spots, over their career. But I will say that the top of this league is there's a gap. I mean, obviously Zane Trace, there's a gap. They're phenomenal. But even this Uniota roster, I'll be honest, even on film, I didn't appreciate it until I was sitting down on court level the other night. This team's so deep. They have athletes. They have two or three athletes I didn't even know they had. Or even if I knew they had them, I didn't quite understand what impact or how it was going to go together. This is a crazy athletic group. I had a chance to watch Adina from down on court level the other night as well. Pretty good basketball team. Obviously, they were playing a phenomenal team, arguably one of the best in our area. Those three teams at the top are there's certainly a gap there. So I might have maybe linked that balance just a little too much there on the preview show.
John, I'll give you an opportunity here. When thinking back to the preview show, I was right about blank, but I'm not so sure about blank. How do you fill in those blanks?
Well, the being wrong about something, I really had to like keep searching through. I had to search through my notes.
Search the archives, right?
Yeah, and I'm even going to be reaching on this.
Yeah, okay. Well, a little bit.
I was right about a lot of stuff. Like, I was right about the Southeastern girls being overlooked, but I'm not so sure about the Zane Trace boys' backcourt depth possibly being an issue. I don't know if it'll be an issue, because they don't foul. They play awesome defense and do it legally. So they don't do dumb things. They don't take dumb chances, or if they do, it's once a game and they get one foul. you know, obviously notwithstanding an injury, I'm not sure how deep they're going to have to go within their backcourt. I know they have some nice front court depth. I know the Nichols kid and Bryce Johnson are playing a little bit. That'll help in the backcourt some. But with Swain and Evans, they're so smart and they're heady. You know, I keep mentioning them for all of these, but there's a reason why. You know, so that I'm not so sure about that. You know, Southeastern is having an outstanding start. Shane, you really alluded to it and went in depth on it. You know, I thought with the return of Heiss and just kind of what else they had returning, because Macy Graves was really good all last year, and it seemed like they just were missing a piece or two. Well, Skylar Heiss comes back. There's your piece. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that was a great call by me. I will applaud myself on that.
Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back there.
I've been stretching. I'm good.
Okay. All right. Anything else for that one, or you think you're good now?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Just want to check to see if you could come up with anything else that you weren't too sure about, but it sounds like you're confident. Okay. The last fill-in-the-blank question here, gentlemen. When the website runs its first SVC leaders page within the next few weeks, I'm most excited about seeing the category of blank because of blank. That question again. When the website runs its first SVC leaders page within the next few weeks, I'm most excited about seeing the category of blank because of blank. Shane, we're going to go to you. This is your second in a row, straight to you.
This was really hard for me because, again, I am biased to the guards and the shooters and things like that. But I'm going to kind of go a little different and say rebounding. And because of the effort of some undersized kids and how that category always seems to showcase a little bit of our energy kids or the kids that just flat play harder than everyone else on the floor, quite frankly. You know, when I look to the boys' side, obviously there's size and there's athleticism like a Davidson and so forth that really are Nesser and some guys like that on Zane Trace that really give that team some depth of stuffing the stat sheet. But then as I get in the girls side, we mentioned Heiss a second ago. I mentioned Olivia Smith last week of Pay Valley. And I mentioned some kids that, you know, you would not typically think of being the top five rebounders in the league, but kids that you just watch them. And then you get comments from other coaches or you get comments from other fans and they appreciate that, like, oh my goodness, that kid just never quits. That kid just goes and gets it and gets it and gets it. So I'm always fascinated by the rebounding category, just to see, you'll see your normal size there and your consistency, but there's always a couple kids on the boys side and the girls side that seem to jump out at you as hustle people that make you appreciate a little bit more when you get a chance to see those particular teams. Because usually, Bruce, our listeners, other than the team they root for, they only really get to see the other kids in high school play, you know, two times. So I think sometimes the stat sheet kind of gives them a little appreciation for some things that kids do well.
Okay, very good. John, coming to you. When the website runs its first SVC leaders page within the next few weeks, you're most excited about seeing the category of blank because of blank.
Well, I at first had considered the category of assists because of my eternal love of passing and the ability to set up teammates. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go with field goal percentage. Okay. It's one of the categories that, you know, you usually think a lot more of, you know, kind of bigs scoring close to the basket. But I'm always impressed with the one or two guards or jump shooters that get into that each year and how efficient that they are shooting the basketball. Some might be able to get to the free throw line a little bit more, and that's why that adds to their efficiency and everything. So free throw percentage also is interesting to me, but I think field goal percentage, just knowing, and especially knowing that there's a limit on, you know, how many shots they have to take and whatnot, I think just shows how efficient some players are, and if you've watched my team, I know you have, Shane, we're all about efficiency, right? So, so it's just one of those things where, you know, I think it's interesting to look at every year.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your answers. Folks, if you have some fill in the blanks that weren't considered and would like to have them be considered or to let us know those, you can do so. We'll give you the contact information coming up after our next segment. But first, in our last week or in our week's final segment, we're going to shoot it from deep and explain why we love the shot that's worth more than two. And two is better, or then three is better than two. We learned that last week. Our third and final segment going to be brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff, they are located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. Give them a call, 740-773-7387, and you can look up on the web for all kinds of detailed information, northforkanimalclinic.com. Well, guys, we kind of gave it away, or I gave it away reading the introduction here, what we're going to talk about. This is my kind of shot. This is where I spent all my high school career, you know, sending it in from deep. If you believe that, you've got another thing coming to you. But why is it? Why do you love the three-point shot? John, why do you love the three-point shot?
I think it's the ultimate equalizer in many ways. Even gives, you know, less, you know, smaller players a chance to really have a big time role within a team. It kind of creates a kind of an ultimate team thing. To me, I think it gives players, you know, it shows a different skill, but I think it's, like I said, the ultimate equalizer. If you shoot the three ball well, you're going to be in a lot of games. If you shoot it poorly and shoot it a lot, it might even you out with maybe a less talented team.
Okay. Shane, what's your response? Why do you love the three-point shot?
Well, we talked a lot about this last week, and I swear a lot of people have been wanting us to do this, and it kind of came up, and a lot of feedback on a lot of different types of three-point shots, you know, in transition or off scrimmage area, inside out, those types of things. You know, we were having fun with the three more than two and the percentages and the differences that you have to shoot. And, you know, I think it's kind of a fun shot. John, we talk about program development, especially if you're in a program that you're kind of trying to close the gap on schools that are just going to be bigger, faster, and stronger most nights. I do. I love the word you used, equalizer. I think that's a fair term. And I think if you're a smaller, quicker team, I would also argue it's easier to rebound it. You know, I know when when I chart it, you know, for if we can get 24 threes off, I would love to make eight of them. I would love to rebound another eight misses. Mm-hmm. You know, so and I think shorter, quicker teams have an opportunity to do that in terms of the long rebound. And then I touched on this last week, and I had a couple people, you know, question me on it, and I hold true to it. I think it's complete fact. It's the one shot in basketball where officials or the rules kind of protect the offense. You know, most rules in today's game, and when it comes to officiating, the game's crazy physical. You know, so when you go off the dribble, chances are you're going to have, you know, a couple hands in your side or a forearm or body check or almost, you know, I watched a 2-point game Saturday night where from mid third quarter on, basically on both ends, just about every shot was an and one. Even when it wasn't called, you were going to have to finish with some contact. And that's just where we're at. But at the 3-point line, that seems to be the one shot where the officials will protect you a little bit. So those are the five or six things. I know it's not for everybody, but, I think it's a great shot if used properly. And, you know, obviously like anything you do, you have to practice it. You can't just show up and, you know, on first day of practice and think, hey, I'm gonna shoot me some threes. I think it's something like any other skill. You have to work on it. And if you want to be good at it and add it to your craft.
Don't you think and I'm speaking from a fan aspect, as I really never played the game professionally or otherwise really, but don't you think that it's just more exciting for the crowd? I mean, the anticipation is longer, you know, there's a build up to it, and then the payoff is better than the two, as we mm-hmm. learned last week from John. But I just think from a crowd standpoint, I think they'd rather see, you know, not all points scored that way, but it's just, I don't know. I get a bigger zap from it. Do you, John?
Yeah, I do agree with that. And really, if a team's trying to make a run, it's a good way to get back in the game a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you can kind of shoot yourself out of it as well, but like making, say a kid makes a half quarter, crowd's going to go nuts for it.
Yeah.
And what if it's only worth 2 points? They'd still go nuts for it, but maybe not as much.
Right.
So it's, I do think that as a fan, I enjoy watching it as well.
Okay. With all those reasons to love the 3-point shot, are you guys at all willing to admit that it's hurt the game in some ways? I mean, we kind of talked about this last week as well.
No, not really. I just don't. I think it gives people a chance to say words like, that's undisciplined. They're out of control. You know, they're live and die by that thing. That thing's, you know, I get it, but I'm not, I don't, I guess the way I'd answer your question, Bruce, is I understand it, but no, not really. That's my answer. Okay. I just feel like it's like any other thing we do. If your identity is to throw it down on the block and go to work with some different things and to do different things or to attack the basket off the dribble or whatever, then that's what you should do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But if it's something that you practice, if it's something you're selling to your kids, and you know, you have the goal of you want to penetrate and you want to kick and you understand what a good three is against a bad three. But if teams – sometimes it's just the easy thing to say. You know what I mean? If teams, you know, shoot – you know, the other night with like Uniota, you mentioned the 1 of 16. I mean, there's probably some people in the stands that see people like, you know, a Stolle or Miller down in the high post, low post playing the high-low game. And they certainly needed to get them more touches, but a lot of times from where I was sitting, Huntington was simply going to just pack the paint in so much that they were just daring them. I was sitting there thinking to myself, oh my goodness, if Uniota gets these looks the next three quarters, they're liable to hit 15 of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the way I viewed that game, where other people might look at it as, oh, that's undisciplined, they need to get it in here, and so forth. And what happened was, as soon as they started to knock down a couple, it loosened. You know, you're able to pound it inside. Stolle Miller, even Stolle steps out and hits one. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's an incredible weapon when you have kids that can just stretch the floor and do different things. So I don't know that I am willing to admit that, Bruce. I think it just depends on what your identity is. Who are your kids? What are their strengths? And, you know, what is it that you do? Now, if you're a coach that doesn't believe in it and you would like your kids to limit that, who am I to tell you you're wrong? I would never ever criticize of anything. I might watch a game and think that, man, that's a good shooter passing that up. But, you know, when I start looking at these kids around the league and I see, like, I saw a game last year where the Mullins girl all by herself from the same spot just completely turned the game. Game over. You know what I'm saying? Like, just completely ended the game just with her ability to stretch the floor and shoot it. Or, you know, when I watch Basie, it's just her incredible talent. Like, the other night she gets 8 shots in the first quarter and he takes 15 in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those where sometimes I think, you know, kids pass up shots. Yeah, I see role players. I had Curry down in my notes from Adina, and her ability to spot up as a role kid when you're playing with like a Stark and Smith and the ability to stretch that floor. I know Paint Valley, you know, we're a team that's very, very undersized, but we have about Yeah, we probably have about five kids, both Urigs, McFadden, Prohl, Stanford. They're probably all going to hit double figure threes this year, three or four, and probably hit over 20. That's just something that they can do. So, you know, I'm not saying it's for every team. You may not have that personnel, but again, I know on the boys side, that don't you think, John, that some of those bottom half teams that we've highlighted already early in the year, they're going to be most dangerous when three or four of their best shooters start knocking down the three ball, because that's going to be the thing that, as you said earlier, the equalizer. That's just the way I feel about the shot. I think it's a great weapon.
And, John, mm-hmm. we've not really heard from you about this. So are you willing to admit that it's hurt the game in some ways? Do you think it has?
No. No, no.
Okay.
And no.
Okay.
I think it comes down to just basketball IQ and coaching. Like most things in sports, if a team and a coach knows that their players shoot the ball well, or many of the different things Shane mentioned already, then who are we to say that it's not a good shot? It opens up the floor a little bit more. Like you mentioned, it does make the game more exciting in a lot of ways. Teams can rely on it a little bit too much, but at the same time, if that's your identity, your identity can switch from year to year as well. I mean, it's not bad for the game, to me, to have anything that has evolved the game. I think anything like, you know, widening the three or the paint was probably seen as a bad thing, other than, you know, especially by the people that had Wilt Chamberlain.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, it has evolved the game. It has changed the game. Now, I see people saying, oh, let's add a four-pointer. No, we don't need to do that. We need to keep it where it's at. You know, it adds some excitement. It makes you play all four quarters. I mean, because if you let up a 16-point lead and go down to 7 in 3 possessions, mm-hmm. and then it's a dogfight to end the game. So it's, to me, I'm not going to say I really understand it, because it sounds like old man yelling at a cloud type of thing. but
I hadn't heard that one.
I just
oh man.
All right. Well, anything else on the three-point that you want to work in?
For the game. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, John. I talked right over top of you. What were you saying there? You thought it was good for the game.
Oh no. I was just going to start rambling.
Okay.
So if we just go back to that JV game with Union and Huntington on Friday, you know, it was a tight game the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Huntington made their first three to end third quarter to cut a 5-point lead to 2. Well, that gets all kinds of momentum. And then the first play of overtime, Huntington makes a 3. You know, and that ends up almost winning the game right there, because, you know, it gets much tighter once you get into overtime. Possessions get longer and whatnot. It's a big momentum thing to me. Teams can fall in love with it, but usually there's a reason why teams fall in love with it, who they are.
Yep. All right. Shane, anything else on the 3-point shot from your notes where people talk to you about it or anything like that?
Oh, I think that's about all I had. You know, we've highlighted the kids, you know, across the way. I think, you know, when these come out, you're going to see your Basie, your Mullins, your Graves, kids like that. On the boys' side, it's probably going to even be deeper than that. You're going to see a lot more balance probably in those things. But, I think it's something we'll follow. If fans want to hear or talk about more, let us know. But I think that'll be certainly one of the categories. It's always fun to look at, because it's a shot that's obviously grown in popularity over the years.
Yep, sure has. And if you would like to talk about this or any other topic that we've talked about here in this podcast, you may do so by contacting either Shane or John. Shane is available, as we always say, via email, admin1@sportszone.com, svcsportszone.com, I should say. Twitter, His handle is at SVC Sports Zone. And on Facebook, he maintains two profiles, Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and SVCSportsZone.com. For John, his email address is jbruce1018 at yahoo.com and on Twitter at CoconutWallPapa. Both gentlemen use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk when they tweet about stuff that you might be interested in for listening to the sports or this podcast. And you can also contact DBK Media Services and leave us a voicemail, 740-569-3254. And we encourage you, if we share on Facebook, that you share as well. And if we tweet on Twitter, please consider retweeting and liking the tweets and so forth. And then if you are listening on iTunes, which we tell you that you can do, please consider giving us a rating and leaving a review too. So that's going to kind of put a wrapper on the majority of the program. Gentlemen, any final thoughts? John, we'll go to you.
Okay, I'm just really looking forward to a big week of SEC basketball. A couple girls' games throughout the week and then a good weekend ahead going into the Christmas break for a lot of schools. Should be interesting, and hopefully we'll be releasing this as it's a snow day on Monday.
We will see.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Just for the weather update, it is down to 33 snowing in Bainbridge right now, for those that are curious.
Yeah.
I would also I know we're all SBC 100% of the time, but I would like to shout out the Buckeye basketball team for making sure that they were not going to go to number one after tonight's game. And that'll be exciting to watch them take on Kentucky, because they're less likely to lose without being number one, if you've paid attention to college basketball so far this year.
I see what you're saying there. All right, Shane, any final thoughts here for us?
Yeah, a couple of different things. John, do you know if on Saturday all four sites are planning on doing the girls-boys varsity doubleheader? Is that true? Or do you know?
I'm not sure. I know Union and Zane Trace are not doing the all-day thing because the Union's Zane Trace girls game will be on Thursday and the boys game will be on Saturday. So I know that'll be different. I'm not sure about the other locations, though.
Well, the original thought that I thought a lot of people were going to is they were using the Thursday night for some of the freshman JV action, and then they were going to do the doubleheader on Saturday. I do believe Huntington Paint Valley are doing the doubleheader. The reason I say that is, I tweeted something out it's had a lot of feedback the other night. I go back and forth. I don't know what the perfect solution is. What I do know on the girls' side, the Huntington Uniota girls basketball game the other night was played in an atmosphere that's not going to be played in front of on a Tuesday or Thursday night when it's by itself. So that's just a fact. So that was something just to throw out there that I think is interesting for us to see. I know they've tried to tweak the all-day events because the true all-day event, Bruce, where we have like five games –
yeah,
seems to be too much.
Yep.
But for the one time a year, or really home and away, two times a year, to do a little bit of a doubleheader action, I don't think it's bad. Like, obviously, the better the matchup, the better the sell is. But that's just something to keep an eye on. We'll talk about that a little bit more. I applaud the league and applaud some of the schools for trying something different just to see. So we'll report back on that. There was one other thing on program development earlier in terms of what we were missing. I had some different people talk to me earlier this week. They weren't trying to make excuses. They were just trying to comment on the topic, and that was luck. Sometimes you do get lucky. I mean, or you get unlucky, injuries. You're able to stay healthy throughout the year. You're able to do those. Some people mention and they were saying it in a very complimentary way of some of these kids. Like, obviously, Zane Trace benefited greatly from having like Colby Swain come in. Adina, when you lose a kid like Vogelsong and McKee kid comes over, the McKee kid gives a lot of those intangibles that he gave. When we talked about like Little and Wheeler and so forth, so when you're at the top of the league there, yeah, I can't doubt that. I mean, obviously those are incredible gets. Those are lucky things, you know, on the girls' side. Yeah, I mentioned how anyone that's listened to the show the last 2 years knows that I'm a huge fan of Graves at Southeastern. That's a nice get. I mean, when you get a kid like that move into the league here a couple years ago, wherever she goes in the league was going to, you know, John, to use a baseball term, probably wins above replacement. It was probably going to be a double, wasn't it? I know Coleman Pinkerton coming in there earlier in their careers. So I get that. I get what people are saying. So sure it is. It's a lucky thing. Injuries are a lucky thing. Sometimes you go all year long, and I've had years where you never deal with an injury. And then I've had other years where, gosh, you think you're going to be 8 deep and you're lucky to just stay 5 deep all year. You know, more get a couple kids back, someone else gets hurt. So, I think those are all factors, and I'm more than willing to hear comments on different things and talk about things. Some of the other things, guys, stats, film, officials, rules, there's a lot out there. I know there's a lot of topics. That's why I say the basketball shows are so unique. They're so fascinating to me because I love to talk about it so much. We've always tried to give that perspective because, like I said this week, I was able to see, you know, 3/4 of the league basically in 1 week, where a lot of fans are the first to tell me, like, hey, I only see so-and-so play twice, you know, once when we play them at our place and once when we go to their place. So I think that's where we try to add some different things in terms of some of our perspective. So I think those are the things that I respond to, some of the things coming in. I do think as we get closer to Christmas break here, we'll be able to see some different matchups. I know there's some fascinating non-league matchups. See Tuesday night, John, Dina Alexander, right? That's a big time D3 matchup.
I wish that was out of Dina.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So, those types of things are out there. So we'll continue to cover it all, and we'll continue to talk. The fan feedback's been phenomenal, and just keep letting us know what you want us to talk about. And obviously, we'll continue to cover the programs and in the individuals in this league the best we can. So, guys, on that note, we'll go ahead and get on out of here. Again, the weather report has snow falling in Bainbridge, so everything's looking good there. John ruined the Buckeye game for me because I have it taped, but that's okay.
You're welcome then.
We'll get together again next week here in the studio and do that. So guys, on that note, make sure we're checking out svcsportzone.com. We'll always do our best to keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportszone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.